Hi, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. Steve Arterburn here, and joining me today, Dr. Dave Stoop and Dr. Jill Hubbard, and your phone calls at 1-800-229-3000. It's a great day for New Life. Thanks for being with us.
I really appreciate the advice you guys give people. It's from a biblical perspective, and just listening has really helped me in some way.
One of my sisters began to have an affair with my husband.
Really?
You're a mom, and you're afraid of your mom?
Yeah.
Does she breathe fire?
Well, yeah.
See, love's a decision, because when Jesus tells us in John 14, new commandment I give you, to love each other. And love is more than just a feeling. There's a decision. There's a choice in that.
Whoa! Can we go into a different conversation here?
I reckon.
At a later time in life, when the child's 22, closeness can end up being toxic.
You can't go to therapy and not feel.
All right, did you hear that? You can't go to therapy and not feel. Yes, you can. I've done it many times. Come on. You know what I mean.
Yes.
No, we know what you mean, too. Yeah, it is important. If you're going to get counseling,
I know.
You go in there and feel something.
But I had somebody try
clients.
That one time, where they thought they could just go through and talk through things and not connect and not feel, and then
just give me a 1, 2, 3 they want. Yeah.
More like it's a class.
Yeah.
Where they would
just
go, and they get to speak out of turn and listen to you, but that's not what it is. Hey, we have been featuring some answers by Max Lucado from his book, Max on Life. And I want to go right now, and I want you to hear another one of his so wise answers from his book, Max on Life. Here's Max Lucado. Here's another question out of Max on Life, Max Lucado's book. It's the answer and insight to some very difficult and very important questions. Here's the next one. Life is filled with more changes right now than I can handle. I just graduated from high school. I'm moving away to attend college. My boyfriend has left me, and my parents are getting a divorce. I feel as if I'm sinking beneath a sea of change. What do you say to her?
Well, I wish that we could say there would be no change in life. I heard somebody say that if you don't want any change, go to a soda machine because you'll find it every place else.
That's great.
There's change, isn't there? I mean, and just when we think we've kind of leveled out and identified our station in life, a job transfer comes or a sickness comes, and here's change. It just comes with life. I think a lot about the night before Jesus' crucifixion and his word and his counsel to the disciples. He told them, I am going away, and where I am you cannot go, but I will but I must go away so that the counselor can come and he will be with you. What Jesus was describing there was the presence of the Holy Spirit. The disciples were about to go through the most major change of their whole lives. Jesus was going to be crucified. They were going to run away from Christ for a time, and he was going to come back and regather them after the resurrection. They were going to become the leaders of the Christian movement. You talk about transition. Their world was going to be turned upside down. What Jesus said is that during this time that's very changing, the Holy Spirit will be with you, and he does not change. I believe that we have underexplored the power of the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives. The presence of the unchanging God in these very changing days. And I think if you're going through a time of change, the most important thing you can do is to spend much time in prayer. Don't panic. Don't freak out. Don't get angry at God, but spend time with God in prayer. It helps me to make a list of the things that have not changed. God still loves me. God still forgives my sins. Heaven is just a blink away. I still have the assurance of salvation. I still have God's scripture to guide me. Sometimes when we're going through a lot of change, we forget that many things actually do not change, and the most important things are stable. And sometimes God brings us through change so that we'll anchor more deeply to the unchanging thing. So welcome a time of change as a time to develop the muscles of faith. Don't be surprised when it comes. Just sink in and trust. Pray. Go to scripture. Stay in communion with God and with God's people, and God will get you through this change like he's done all of us, all of our lives, and will till the very end of time.
I've always respected Max, but after reading Max on Life, I respect him even more. Max on Life, that's his new book. We'll be back.
At New Life, we are passionate about helping people experience recovery. And it's no exception when it comes to recovery from the addiction to drugs or alcohol. We are very grateful to have found what we believe is the premier facility to offer a Christian 12-step model of care. It treats the whole person and offers biblical values as the foundation for treating the mind, body, and spirit. Our partner in drug and alcohol addiction provides exemplary medical and psychiatric care, as well as Christian-based psychotherapy, pastoral counseling, biblical studies and meditation, educational groups, worship and prayer, and a Christian 12-step program. The approach is non-denominational and guides the patient to experience freedom through a renewed relationship with Jesus Christ. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you or someone you love is struggling with drug or alcohol addiction. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, back to the program.
We are back, and let's talk with Richard here from Fort Dodge, Iowa. KTIA is the station. Hello, Richard.
Hi. I have a relationship with a female prison inmate. I met her through internet pen pal site.
Okay.
About three years ago, and I live in Iowa. She's in Florida. I've never seen her in person. I, of course, seen her pictures, but not in person. And
let me ask you the typical question of what's she in there for?
She's in there for robbery for 20 years. She's a former prostitute and drug addict. And this, I discovered all of this when we were into the relationship.
Yeah.
And so it turns out.
Other than that, is there anything else that's a problem with her? Robbery, prostitution.
Well, I'm kind of discovering that as I'm going.
Okay.
And she's kind of running a little prostitution letter scheme from her cell. And, writing explicit letters and so forth, hoping to get some money out of it.
And you've never met her, but you're saying you're dating her.
Well, what else would I call it? We're talking personally, and we have feelings for each other, and so forth. But it's come to the point where I think I have to do something about this, because she's becoming dependent on me, and she says I'm the only good thing in her life. And so I'm thinking, what do I do? Do I report her to the prison for what she's doing, her activities? Do I just drop her and leave her? Do I, she needs a lot of mental therapy is what she needs in the prison. Prison doesn't give that.
Yeah.
So I'm at a quandary as to what I should do. I don't want to get in deeper and deeper and having her more dependent upon me.
Well, okay, let me ask you this. Have you said to her, I love you and I'd like to marry you when you get out?
Yes, I did when we first started writing. She kind of says that she loves me and all that, but she doesn't want to marry me. I'm too old for her.
Richard, how old are you?
70.
You're 70, okay. So what is it that got you involved with her? Are you kind of a people pleaser guy? Are you lonely?
Both of those, I guess. And I was just found her at random when I was looking through pen pal sites.
And Richard, because you're saying you're starting to feel uncomfortable with her level of dependence on you, and you know, certainly telling someone you're the only one is a great hook to keep somebody tied to you. But, some people might have had some issues with the fact that she's in prison and, you know, the things that she's been involved in. Right. So you're just starting to get uncomfortable.
Well, it's been building up and building up, and I can see where she's very dependent upon me.
Mm-hmm.
And I can see that I'm the only good thing in her life.
Well, so she's saying.
Well, you're talking about a criminal who is in prison still doing criminal things, according to you.
Still being antisocial.
And so when you say she really depends on me, you might want to reframe that into she really uses me.
Okay, I would say both of those are true.
Well, is she using you to get her business going with her explicit letters?
Well, she uses me in ways where she implies where she wants things, and then I provide things for her.
Like what? What do you provide?
I send her money, subscriptions to magazines and books. I send her money for clothing and for different necessities and so forth. Her family will have nothing to do with her. And wherever she goes, she makes enemies.
Yeah. I would start, Richard, by telling her I can't provide for you the things that I've been providing.
Right.
I can't give you money anymore. I can't give you clothing anymore. And then see how much she needs you. Then my point is, I don't think you're going to have the same relationship.
No.
And here's the other thing, Richard. You don't know how many other 70-year-old men she is in contact with who are sending her stuff.
Oh, I'm sure there are.
Okay.
I'm sure there's plenty of them.
So I would start with not providing her with anything material, and I think this thing is going to dissolve a little bit if you're unwilling for her to manipulate you into starting back giving up again. But I want to see you with some healthy people that aren't in prison. What is it that would cause you to spend this much time on someone that you have no access to versus all of the wonderful women, 70 and older, who would love to have the company of a man like you?
Okay, I can answer that.
Yeah?
The first year of our relationship, I was married to another woman. And I was very unhappy in my marriage, and we have since divorced. But for that first year talking with the inmate, I was also married to a woman. And that's why I wanted to keep it secret. I didn't want anybody seeing me walking down the street with another woman.
Now, are you a believer?
Yep.
And so you felt like this was okay, or you
I don't feel it's okay.
Okay,
I think it was awful.
Okay.
But I got into it, and now I'm in deep.
Yeah, well,
but you can get out.
What are you afraid of if you tell her I can't have this relationship anymore? What are you afraid of?
Well, because I have strong feelings for her, and I'm afraid of having to give that up.
Yeah, but your strong feelings are based on fantasy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I guess so.
And you're afraid of reality, it feels like.
My fear would be more about any retaliation.
Well, that's what I was thinking.
I know she's behind bars, but I would start to back out slowly.
Yeah.
And lessen what you do for her. It will help you to maybe back out with your feelings because it won't be so sudden, but it'll also maybe ease how she would react to you.
I think Steve's idea that you stop sending her money and just tell her you can't do that anymore. And then watch what happens, because at that point, and that's sad because you have feelings. But, the reality that you are being used, if that's what it is, will help you with those feelings. And you just, you'll have to grieve
I'm really glad you called so that we could encourage you to break it off.
Some obligation I would have with the authorities to tell them about what she's doing?
Well, I don't know. I mean,
I don't
know what you've done for her totally. I hope it hasn't been aiding and abetting anything that she's
done. No, not at all.
Yeah.
But no, you're concerned about what she's doing. I think that's the business of the prison and
right.
there. I don't think that's your responsibility.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. I would look more, Richard, at the fact that you have latched onto something that isn't real while you were in a marriage where you had something real. So instead of working that out, you latched onto this and that fear of really having something more real.
Yeah. Okay, well, I'm going to send you How We Love. It's a book of insight, and it's never too late. And I'm going to send that to you, and I'm going to send Necessary Endings, a book by Henry Cloud, and I hope that you can use that. Anybody else interested in those resources, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Let's talk to Daniel from Albuquerque, New Mexico, XM Satellite Radio. Hello there.
Hi, how's it going?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing good.
Good. How can we help you?
Okay, I just have a question about my wife. She seems to be really secretive, and I just wanted to find out, am I doing wrong if I'm trying to find information?
Okay, what? Tell us what makes her secretive.
Like, she would have conversations, or she would be texting, and I would just ask her who it was, and she would say, just a friend, or she would, like, say that she was talking to her niece. And then whenever the phone rings, she would, like, put the phone, like, face down, to where I couldn't see who's calling or who it is.
Well, I would want to know what's going on. If it was my wife doing that, I would definitely do whatever I needed to do to find out what was happening. And I would want to know the phone records and who these phone calls were coming from. I would get that record, and I would make some phone calls and find out who answers.
Right.
Yeah.
And then also the other day, I walked into our room, and we have a computer there, and I walked in, and when I walked in, she kind of just turned off the TV the computer right away. So,
well, there's there's a history there, and you've got a history that you can get from.
And it was on Facebook, so.
So, Daniel, is this different behavior for your wife? Like when you look at the history of your relationship. Okay, how long ago?
About maybe 3 months ago.
Changed 3 months ago. Okay.
So prior to that, you didn't feel suspicious of her? Like, you don't have a history of being overly suspicious?
No.
Okay.
Something's going on,
and
you have every right to figure it out and do whatever you have to figure it out, and I would encourage you to do it. It'll be scary because you may not like the outcome, but it's better to know than not to know.
We did kind of talk about it. I mentioned it, and then she's all, like, we need our own privacy, and so I don't know if that was right or... I mean, that seems like she tells me that you have
your privacy. Don't.
I don't look through your phone and stuff
You know? No, you don't. Mm-hmm. You don't need your privacy. My wife can look through my phone, my computer.
Yeah.
We have each other's passwords. Everything is open with each other. That is not an idealistic situation. That is a situation that every marriage can have.
That's the way it should
totally
be.
Totally open to each other. No private space.
Not that you go looking or checking, but it's available. And when somebody changes that, there's usually a reason for it, and that's what's bothering
you. Yeah, you need to find out what's going on. But what is going on is your wife's having an affair.
Or the start of one.
At some level.
Yeah, at some level, she's having an affair. That's what people do when they have an affair. Mm-hmm.
I did mention that, and then she tells me, if I was doing something behind your back, you wouldn't be here. I would tell you right away. I'm the type that don't, like, hide around and try to do
things.
But
here's the
bottom line. She's hiding around.
But here's the bottom line. You guys are so distant and disconnected, it's sad. Why don't you say, look, I don't care what's going on. I'm not happy. But let's go to this marriage weekend, and let's try to get back together here. Let's try to get on each other's page again.
Right.
Yeah, Daniel, that was kind of my thought. You know, whether you catch her or find out who she's talking to, the point is you're feeling disconnected from her, and something has shifted, and you want to find out what the meaning of that is.
Okay.
Because that change, it may start innocent, it may be small, but it will get bigger and bigger.
Right.
So don't let it go.
Okay, so it isn't just a matter of snooping. It's a matter of fixing the chasm between the two of you and connecting.
So what are all those things that your wife has said to you in the past that she wishes you would do? Or what is missing from your marriage? Or, you know, a lot of times women leave a lot of clues. Not all women, but a lot of women do.
She did mention that I wasn't that loving to her. Like, she tells me that you should one day, you should just come up and tell me that she looks pretty and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So, are you doing that?
I'm doing that now. I mean, before, it was I kind of grew up differently. I never seen my parents, I never... heard my dad tell my mom that he loves her and stuff like that. You know?
Interesting history, but do you even not having... I mean, can you see that that would really be a positive thing for a woman to hear that she's pretty?
Yes.
Okay, why would you resist telling her she's pretty?
It's just that I don't resist. It's just that I kind of...
You don't think about it?
I don't know what it is. Sometimes.
Well, you put a note. Put a note in your wallet that says, "Tell her she's pretty."
In your date book.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. When you and your wife were dating, I bet there were some behaviors that you did that helped to kind of woo her to you.
Yes. Yes. That's
true. What she wants. You have to dig deep and go back to some of those behaviors.
All right. I'm glad you called us.
But check anyway.
Yeah. Yeah, while you're also addressing this problem. Yeah.
I'll send you boundaries in marriage. I hope that'll be a blessing to you. Glad you called. Man, I tell you, that's tough. When all of a sudden there's a dramatic change there and you know it's not good and feel really stuck. I hope something we said is helpful. Hey, you can come join us in Israel. We'll play a little video after this. June the 6th through the 16th is Israel. We'd love to have you. By the way, the cost of that is covered by the people that go, no other part of the ministry. Hi, this is Stephen Arterburn from New Life Ministries. We know that Christian counseling changes lives. We hear evidence of that every day.
I feel like I'm a person for the first time in my life. I feel like I wasn't whole before or that I couldn't enjoy life. I had such a big weight on my shoulders that I had nothing to look forward to. I'm such a better wife, and I'm a better daughter, friend, a better worker. I feel absolutely free.
Our nationwide network of licensed Christian counselors means there is help available near you.
If anybody is considering Christian counseling, then they need to do it. They need to take that step.
You don't have to be stuck where you are, but you can't really expect to change unless you take action. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It could be the start of a whole new life for you. Christian counseling works, and we can help. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE today. Someone who cares is always there at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Experience new life in the Holy Land June 6th through the 16th. Join Steve Arterburn, Dr. John Townsend, Dr. Sherry Denham, and Milan Yurkovich of New Life Live for a daily time of teaching. You'll have the experience of a lifetime visiting the places where the events of Scripture really happened. Jerusalem, the Sea of Galilee, the Mount of Olives, Masada, and much more. Not only will you see the sites that bring history and Scripture to life, but Stephen Curtis Chapman will perform a once-in-a-lifetime private concert. Out of these ashes, if there was ever a trip you don't want to miss, this is it. Experience new life in the Holy Land June 6th through the 16th. Call and sign up today at 1-800-223-3855. Or for more information, visit newlife.com. Visit Israel. You will never be the same.
We'd love to hear from you if you have a question or comment. Call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now, back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here. Let's just play a short clip of me over there at the Dead Sea in Israel. People get an idea of how beautiful it is over there. Here's me at the Dead Sea. We're here at the Dead Sea, and all my life I've heard how dead it was, and I think I've heard every devotional possible on that Dead Sea and no water going out and coming in and all of that. I've also heard how fun that it is. Is it fun, Joe? Joe Franklin says it's fun. But what I never counted on, what I never thought, was how beautiful it is. This is one beautiful sea. I hope you'll come see it. June 2011. Come experience new life in the Holy Land.
All right, please come experience new life in the Holy Land. And this Sunday, or Sunday the May the 8th, come experience me preaching at Heartland Church on heaven. It's going to be a great series on heaven. Hope you'll join us there if you're in the Indianapolis area. I want to talk to Susan from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Hi, Susan. Welcome. Hi, Susan.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm all right. I'm hanging in there.
Okay. How could we help today?
Okay. My question is, I have a one-sentence statement. I am torn between keeping my marriage vows
because I don't believe in divorce, and retaining my sanity.
Oh, and what if we could help you do both?
That would be wonderful.
Okay. What have you tried? What have you tried in remaining sane in the midst of, I'm assuming that the source of your insanity, you would say, would be your husband?
I don't want to say he's the source, but his behaviors are.
Okay, so he's the one that does those behaviors, so we'll just say he's the source. So what does he do that's...
But that's good. She's not making him all bad.
All
right?
Bad is really good.
She's seen that his behaviors.
What does he do that's really, really makes you crazy?
Well, do you want to know if there's any diagnoses involved?
You can tell me whatever you want.
Years ago, we got a diagnosis of Asperger's. I personally am not that fond of labels, but I do think that they enable you to articulately address a matter or certain
to have
behaviors.
Some understanding.
So does he think he has Asperger's?
I think he does. I think he does.
Does he think that people with...
He's extremely, extremely intelligent and extremely high-functioning. Right. And
does he accept
a couple hours with him, you probably wouldn't even know it.
But does he accept the fact that people with Asperger's many times are extremely difficult to live with because it's hard for them to empathize, it's hard for them to truly know the impact of what they say and how they say it? Is he aware of that?
No, absolutely not, and that is the crux.
Okay. Because I have a good friend who has Asperger's, and he is aware of all that and works on all that and does everything he can to overcome that.
No. And through various counselors that I've attended alone, because he will not attend with me, a couple have suggested that perhaps there's other issues too, such as... possible narcissism and passive-aggressive behavior.
Okay.
But what has brought me to this call today is his verbal abuse. It has gotten absolutely... He's never been appropriate in expressing his emotions, but over the years, it's been well over a decade now. And over the years, it has escalated and escalated, and it's to the point where it is completely unbearable.
Okay, so what have you tried to do? What have you tried to help restore sanity to yourself?
Over the years, various different things, such as de-escalating, talking him down, giving him lots of alone time, which he desperately requires.
Mm-hmm.
And I recognize that need, and I've tried to respect that need.
Okay.
But I think that there's far more going on than just this lack of empathy. He has recently implemented economic abuse.
What does that mean?
Which I didn't even know was such a thing until I went into further counseling, such as pulling all money away, only his name on the account. I don't even have a debit card. Absolute control is the name of the game right now.
Mm-hmm.
And no matter what I do in life, it's not good enough. He keeps raising the bar.
Okay.
If he's unhappy at that moment, well, it's because I'm not earning enough money. If I get a better job, well, I'm not working enough hours. If I work more hours, well, I'm working too many and I'm still not making enough, so why don't you finish that degree? So, okay, now I'm back in school full time and now I'm a burden. It has become increasingly clear to me that no matter what I do, the bar will always then turn around and be raised.
Okay. Have you guys gotten any help together?
He won't go. He will not go.
Hmm.
We went one time years ago before it got to this point, and it was not a good counselor. We only went for a couple of months. And,
okay. Give you some help right after this. Brilliant and blind. What a condition to be in when you don't know what you don't know about yourself and you're unwilling to to get yourself in a position where you could discover. Boy, we hate that. We'll be back.
My clothes are falling off of me. People are making comments. I would pick up my food, and I was running every day, 6 miles a day. And I got to the point where I was afraid to drink water because I didn't want to gain water weight.
10 million women and girls have eating disorders. Anorexia or bulimia isn't a diet, it's a disease.
My parents knew then that something had to be done immediately.
New Life's Eating Disorders Treatment Clinic can help.
You see that everybody that works there loves God and is wanting to help you.
For more information about our eating disorder treatment clinic, call New Life today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Find hope for your child to begin healing and embrace life. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
I decided that I wanted to work with eating disorders and help save people's lives on a daily basis.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
I know that with God and Renuda that my life was spared.
I counsel people every single day. I help marriages. I help broken people find healing. I teach the good news of a Savior that loves us. But why can't I accept it myself and break free from this bondage? I can't stop looking at pictures that I shouldn't be looking at, and fantasizing and lusting, and now I've taken it a step further and gone to a strip club. I have to stop. I want to stop.
At New Life, we've helped thousands of men just like this find hope, healing, and a plan to move forward with their lives through our one-of-a-kind Every Man's Battle Intensive Weekend. Call us right now at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
I need help, and I can't do this on my own. I want to be the pastor that God wants me to be.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
We're glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now, back to the program.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here with Dr. Jill Hubbard. Dr. Dave Super, going to hear from Larry Sonnenberg here in a minute. But Jill, talk with Susan about
Susan,
this extreme.
I just want to address it. I mean, it sounds like you've been doing your homework, and you've really described it really well. And I'm glad that you are in therapy because you definitely need a lot of support. In terms of all the other diagnoses, you know, we don't really need to have a whole laundry list. Asperger's is enough. And some diagnoses overlap, like narcissism. There are similar traits to Asperger's. But with the Asperger's, you know, he is very detached. And it sounds like you are getting kind of backed into a corner more and more. And I'm wondering if in the past you have been trying to jump through all these hoops and please him, hoping to get something back from him.
Absolutely.
Okay.
I am the daughter of an alcoholic. But my father was a good man, and he was a very passive alcoholic. I don't know how else to describe it.
Okay.
But,
so
I recognize that, and I am, because of that, an extreme people pleaser.
Okay. So this, God is giving you an opportunity to really work on that. And you are having to develop that voice that starts to stand up for yourself, not in a combative way, but to realize, I mean, you said it yourself, there will be no pleasing him. The more you do, the more the criteria changes, right? And so letting him know that you're not willing to do those things, especially in light of the fact that the things you have requested of him, he is unwilling to do. And that, you know, that really marriage is about compromising. So if you both can put the things on the table that you think will help the marriage and help you guys come together as a team, you're willing to talk about that. But if it's just where he's, you know, handing out the mandates and you're supposed to comply, you realize that that's just been hurting the marriage, right? It just builds resentment
absolutely.
In you. And you want to love him. I mean, you said yourself, he's a good guy. But you want to love him. And you know he has deficits in being able to feel and connect and read things accurately. So you have to accurately tell him how he's impacting you.
Okay.
Okay? So you kind of have to shift. You know, you can't sit around. It's terrible. It's terrible. I want him to change, but he won't do anything. No, you change by saying, no, I'm not going to try to do all those things because it doesn't work.
I have to tell you, you're right on the money. That is actually what I started implementing this past year. However,
I think we have
a bit of an extinction burst going on. Mm-hmm. That was when all the financial resources have been pulled from me.
Okay. Mm. So when we change a behavior, other people around us will try harder to get us to go back to the old.
Sure.
So, yes, you're well aware of that. So
persevere. And, you know, I hate to say it, but you may have to get an attorney to protect your financial rights there.
Right.
It really sounds like he's cutting you off and slicing you away, and I'm so sorry you're going through this. Let me send you Mylan and Kay's book, How We Love, and maybe you'll read about him there, and it'll give you some insight that you haven't had, and maybe it'll connect with him somehow when you talk to him about it. I hope so. All right, 1-800-229-3000 to join us on the program. Joining me is Larry Sonnenberg. He's our president. He's the one that pays the bills and is responsible for raising the kind of support that we need here. Larry, how's it going here so far?
Well, we need to close April with a flourish. It's been a tough month. April is typically a month that we make up for some past sins, so to speak, in the previous months when the giving wasn't as high. And so I'm here to ask for a call to action. Would you, if you're listening to this program, consider stopping what you're doing right now and picking up the phone or going to your computer and getting a hold of us, 1-800-NEW-LIFE or newlife.com, and making a donation so we can get back where we need to be. It's going to be a long year because we have some catching up to do, but it's going to be a good year because we see life change month after month in all that we do.
And financially, we're much stronger, but here in April, we're kind of not following the pattern of previous years, and April's usually a very strong month.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, one thing I learned about my faith a few years back is that faith involves dealing with contradictions all the time. And the contradiction that we're faced with here at New Life is that we see the best ministry. We see people's hearts and lives turn. It might be a 5-degree correction or it might be a 180-degree turnaround. But we see life change, and the contradiction with that is the money to keep it going is such a struggle.
Okay, what do you want people to do?
I want people to just, especially the people who have not given before. You know, some of our donors might feel a little weary because we've put out a call for quite a few months here on this, but I would like people to pick up the phone, stop what you're doing right now, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. And just say, hey, I'd like to give. Maybe you could join Club New Life. Maybe it's a one-time gift. Maybe it's $5. Maybe it's $5,000. Maybe it's somewhere in between. There isn't a gift too small or too large. We just need your help.
Yeah. Thank you, Larry. Appreciate that. You know, while we're stopped here, I want to play a little portion of what a pastor said about using some of our materials. When you support us, you're supporting us getting materials to churches that can help change lives. So let's take a moment and listen to this pastor.
This is Pastor Roger Hatfield from Walnut Grove, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. I just wanted you to know that we completed our Healing is a Choice series just last evening in our Living in Victory 12-Step Recovery group. It was a wonderful series. It took us 4 months. We were not in a hurry. And there were salvations, there were recoveries, there were spiritual healings, people got right with God. I believe that some marriages were saved. It was just a wondrous, wondrous series. I thank you for recommending that book and workbook and video. We used it, and God was all over it, and I wanted to share that good news with you. So I just want you to know that it's greatly appreciated, and angels danced in heaven, and God got glory. So thank you for the Healing is a Choice materials. It was a great tool. May you be blessed.
Well, thank you so much for that. And if you would like materials for your church to operate groups on Healing is a Choice, Life Recovery, lose it for life, boundaries, call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE and ask for Ryan, and he will help you. And if you have a group going, we'd love to put that on our register. We have over 500 groups around the country, so we'd love to have you become part of that. You can find out how to do that at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Let's go back to those phones. And I want to see, we've tried this on other programs, to see if Linda from Alexandria, Virginia is there, listening on Sirius Satellite Radio. Linda, are you there?
I'm here.
It's just absolutely amazing. We're glad that you are. How could we help you today? What's going on?
Well, I have to ask you a question.
Okay.
My daughter is a single mom.
Okay.
And she's been letting her two sons sleep in bed with her.
Mm-hmm.
A 12-year-old and a 10-year-old.
Okay.
And the 12-year-old, you know, goes to bed with her, and then he gets up and goes and gets in his own bed. But the 10-year-old sleeps with her all night long.
Mm-hmm.
And I just feel like there's a time where they need to be sleeping in their own beds, and she needs to have some privacy about how she dresses and, you know, like now, especially since she's a single mom. But I don't know how to approach it with her.
Yeah, Jill, you have a 10-year-old, don't you?
I do. Actually, he's 9 and a half.
Almost 10.
You know, they're still kind of on the cusp of being a little boy at 9 and a half, 10. 12 years old, they're moving into that adolescence.
Maybe,
but I think
maybe.
Yeah. Not necessarily.
Starting to.
Yeah. But, you know, I think it's not so much about age. It's really kind of looking at where your child is at developmentally, mm-hmm. and kind of seeing what the needs are and really being aware of yourself. Certainly as a single mom, you know, you're alone, and so your children can fill in that gap. And she needs to make sure that she's not supplementing the kids in the absence of having a partner. But your question was about you talking with her. I think it's very sensitive, you as the mom. And so you have to handle it in a very sensitive way and just kind of put it out there and say, I just want you to consider this. And I want to open up dialogue with you about this. I'm not saying I'm right. I just want to talk to you about where you're at with this.
Well, the thing I'm seeing, though, is that the 12-year-old is kind of solving it for himself. He's pulling away.
He is.
And that's
mm-hmm.
that's a good sign.
Right.
You know,
it's not necessarily a
it can be
thing
for them.
Be,
it can be a security
right.
thing for
mm-hmm.
the kids,
it's not necessarily
too.
Something yeah, to be worried so, about.
I wouldn't worry about that.
All right. Let me send you a book to give to her, How We Love Our Kids, and I hope that'll be a blessing to her. We'll be back right after this.
Hi, this is Max Licato. My friends at New Life want to help you find healing and restoration based on God's truth. They have a workshop to help men who are stuck in the entanglement of pornography. They have another for both men and women to deal with any issue you might be facing, anger, depression, grief, or whatever you're struggling with, they can help you. Or if you know someone fighting an addiction to drugs or alcohol, they offer a Christian treatment program. And if you know someone struggling with an eating disorder, they can help you there too. Call them today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. The Apostle Paul writes in Romans about the transformation that comes through the renewing of your mind. It's God's Holy Spirit that makes this happen, and He's working through this ministry at New Life. Call today and see how you can experience that for yourself. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433.
I just absolutely believe in the mission of New Life, and I feel that the materials provided and the biblical counseling perspective is so valuable and not available in so many places. And New Life and membership in Club New Life provides access to the live program and also CDs available to listen to. So I know it's easy to turn on the radio and receive the benefit, but those services don't come without expense, and I would sure like to see the program remain on. So I would like to
challenge listeners who listen and receive benefit but haven't yet given to actually give this year and continue the giving, of course, because more people need to hear.
Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE and ask how you can start your Club New Life membership today. 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, back to the program.
We're back.
I just wanted to make another comment because I know that there's certain philosophies in child rearing where, you know, we got to make sure the kids are independent and they're separate, and people have a hard time with things like sleeping in the same room.
Right.
And that really, especially when kids have gone through divorce, they need more contact with mom. And often mom is working, and so it's not necessarily something to be really worried about.
No, and you get other cultures where it's just a natural thing. I mean, they don't even raise a question about it, and there's nothing weird that goes on.
We make it something weird.
Yeah.
Right?
And I don't think it is.
It's usually the exception when it's something weird.
Now, if at 18 they're still sleeping with their mom, then that's weird.
Well, right. But you, as you said, the 12-year-old is leaving. So they kind of know when they've gotten enough. And
I think I think boys will know that. It's like, this is kind of... I want my own bed, you know, and they'll come to that point.
But sometimes without a father to kind of pull the boy into manhood, a mom needs to shove them along a little bit.
But then you also need an uncle, a grandfather, somebody there that's a male to take that place.
You know, Pam watches us on FamilyNet, and let's talk with her. Hi, Pam.
Hi.
How are you?
Not doing too good.
What's the problem?
I'm dealing with depression and... I've been on different medicines and been taken off medicines, and just knowing what medicine I really should be on.
Okay. Do you go to a general practitioner or a psychiatrist when it comes to medication?
I go to a psychiatrist.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And are you on anything now?
I'm not on anything right now.
Okay. Are you taking any kind of supplements?
I take... vitamins, but that's it.
And do you exercise?
A little.
A little? Okay.
What happened is I was on medicine, and the medicine, I ended up getting a urinary tract infection in the medicine, and my liver almost shut down. Mm. I was in ICU for 7 days.
Oh, my goodness.
Wow.
So I took...
What were you on, Pam?
Effexor.
Wow. Mm. Hmm. How much? Was it a large dose?
Yes.
Okay.
And did it help?
It seemed to help a little, but then I've had people tell me that it seems like that I'm a zombie, that I'm not really there. And I'm really scared to get back on medicine, but I'm not dealing.
Well, you got to sit down with your psychiatrist and say, boy, do we have a dilemma here.
Yeah, and you may want to consider a different psychiatrist.
Yeah,
you know,
that's
because
true.
One of the things that they found in doing brain scans is that if you have high doses of antidepressants, it goes the opposite way. It actually makes you into a zombie and more depressed. And there's something about the normal dosage that makes it work. And if you go beyond that, it'll work against you. And so you may want to think about getting a different psychiatrist just to get a fresh outlook on
you need somebody that really knows the up-to-date stuff on medication.
Well, and Pam, are you in therapy as well?
Yes.
Okay. So you're in ongoing therapy. So
yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. Because the medication alone isn't going to do it.
No.
And things like exercise, like Steve was saying.
Chocolate.
And
it's interesting how chocolate helps you.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. You're serious.
I'm serious. Okay. Yeah, and I'm not a chocolate lover, so I'm just saying that
there's people praising God all across America.
But Pam, also, you know, and you've been struggling with this for a long time. It's like the very thing you don't want to do, which is doing anything, is what you have to do. You know, you have to get up and get out of the house every day and make commitments with people so that you're forced to do that, so that you don't isolate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I've been doing more of that.
Okay.
Good.
Yeah. Plus, I lost my mother and grandmother within
2-year period.
Oh, dear.
Wow. Yeah.
Well,
so that, some of your depression is yeah. grieving and kind of stuck in the grieving.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of things that you have been sad about.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, I'm so sorry. Let me send you Healing is a Choice, and it is a book that I think can really help you feel better. And there's an affirmation in the back that I challenge people to read it 40 days in a row and just see if it can't make a little bit of difference in your motivation. And many people have written me and said, boy, that really did help. But the book is about 10 choices that you can make mm-hmm. for healing, and I hope that you will.
And I think it's important to always remember when you're in that depressive state that is the depression talking, and that what you're feeling may not be accurate.
Yeah.
Because that might not be you in a regular state. So you have to remind yourself.
Right. All right. 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you need some help, or you can go to the website at newlife.com. When you do either of those, you can find out about our network of 900-plus counselors. You can also find out how to become part of Club New Life. We're forming Club New Life chapters. We need about 20 people in every city for a chapter. And if you've never thought about that, call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE or go to newlife.com. I've got a scripture for us here, and it's out of the New American Standards, 1 John 2:3. It says, by this we know that we have come to know him, if we keep his commandments. You know, there's this thing about becoming willing. It's in the 12 steps. We became willing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And there's this thing about being willing to comply. And I think that's really tough for a lot of people, no matter how old, is just to comply with some direction that is proven over time to be really good advice, good direction.
It's the willingness to do that is the key, as you said, yes. And you know, a lot of our infantile parts of us want to rebel against that and say, mm-hmm. hey, I'm going to do it my way. You know, I can do it by myself. And that's the antithesis to what God wants from us. And he's the loving Father who doesn't ask something of us that's terrible or hurtful.
Yeah. Well, part of that compliance, I think, is looking at your life and your relationships, seeing that they're not working, they're not headed in a direction where more intimacy is developing, closer interaction. You see that it's not going that direction, and you say, okay, maybe I am somewhat of a contributor here. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we talked about this man with Asperger's, unwilling mm-hmm. to do anything. Well, that is the sin of rebellion, really, yeah. and lack of compliance, because we need to humble ourselves and be willing to take a second look and get some help.
You know, I was confronted by that in the life of Samuel, where if I can find it.
You're
quickly.
Going to it now.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to it now. Samuel says to Saul, you know, he talks about the sin of sorcery and stubbornness and rebellion being the mm-hmm. same as the sin of
right.
sorcery.
It's Which we have a lot of people saying, wow, you're into witchcraft because you're stubborn.
Yeah, but it's in chapter 15, you know, it's just, you know, what is more pleasing to the Lord, your burnt offerings and sacrifices or your obedience? Obedience is better than sacrifice. Rebellion is as sinful as witchcraft.
Mm.
And that hit me one time because I kind of free-spirited, you know, and I realized, no, that's rebellion, and rebellion is the antithesis of what it means to be compliant.
Yeah. Just to clarify, it says it's as bad as witchcraft. It doesn't say it is witchcraft.
No, it's as bad as.
Yeah,
it's as bad as. Yeah,
right.
And we all know, you know, we all think witchcraft is of the devil, you know.
Yeah.
Well, rebellion
mm-hmm. yeah.
is the same thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So work on compliance today. Say, am I compliant? Am I willing? You know, sometimes we're not ready to surrender, but could we just comply? Could we just go along with some really good advice, like maybe 10 really good commandments to follow? That's how God knows that you're his, is you follow his commandments. We'll see you next time here on New Life Live. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by getting you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you. But you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry.
To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1018, Laguna Beach, California, 92652. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live.